Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program very much. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 23rd, 2021. Doctors and nurses go on strike at a main hospital in South Sudan.
We have been receiving 10,000. That even cannot sustain us for 1 week for autonomy because people are staying in different parts of Juba. The second demand is actually feeding during the duty time.
And two foreign truck drivers were killed along the Juba Nimule Road over the weekend.
Yesterday, 5:30 in the evening, there were three trucks coming to Juba. Two of them fall into an ambush whereby some armed people open fire on the vehicles.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Police Service says two drivers were killed along the Juba Nimule Road over the weekend by unidentified gunmen. The spokesperson of the South Sudan Police Service says the victims of the attack are foreign nationals. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin says the two drivers killed on Sunday were transporting commodities to Juba. He says based on information from police and soldiers at the scene, gunshots were fired at three drivers, but a third driver was able to escape.
Yesterday, 5:30 in the evening, there were three trucks coming to Juba. Two of them fall into an ambush whereby some armed people opened fire on the vehicles. As a result, two drivers lost their lives, and one of them managed to escape. The initial report is saying that these people, some are in uniform and some are wearing plain clothes.
Justin says no suspects have been arrested so far. He says the military uniforms the attackers were wearing is similar to the kind worn by government soldiers, making it difficult to ascertain who carried out the attacks. But Justin accused National Salvation Front or NAS rebels of frequently attacking people along the Juba Nimule Road.
We are suspecting those of NAS because they were operating in that area and they have committed some time back that they have made some attacks on our forces. But at the end of the day, it was civilians who lost their lives. These people actually, they are against peace and they are the rebels, actually. They are working to prove to the world that the government is doing nothing. That is so. We don't have any concern about the life of civilians and all this. Because if they are really want to fight the government, they know our barracks. They are supposed to come to us instead of killing innocent people on the road.
Justin says the government sent more forces today to back up those already patrolling the Juba Nimule Road.
We have already dispatched forces going to make sure that every 2 meters there is a soldier, such that we see exactly what will happen. This time now they have already gone, very good number of forces. Organized forces, all police, army, and national security. Yes, to make sure that the road is safe, and we make sure that we must arrest these culprits.
Suba Samuel, spokesperson for the National Salvation Front, denies NAS attacked anyone along the Juba Nimule Road.
We don't have forces in that road. That is the same work of the government. That is their own work.
Justin is appealing to residents in villages located along the Juba Nimule Road to frequently update organized forces if they see suspicious people in their area. He says villagers are the one who will suffer, saying the attackers will continue harassing them if they don't work with authorities. For VOA News, I am Mune Sorino in Juba.
Unknown number of medical workers, including intern doctors at the Juba Teaching Hospital Emergency Department, have walked off the job to demand better working conditions. Clinical officers and interns say they want the hospital administration to pay their incentives and provide accommodation for doctors on night shifts. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Dr. Emmanuel Ladu, an intern in Juba Teaching Hospital Emergency and Accident Department, says the decision to lay down their tools came after the medical workers petitioned the hospital administration, asking them to improve working conditions. Dr. Ladu says the administrators failed to provide interns doctor at the emergency department with incentives, accommodations, and other necessities.
We have been receiving 10,000. That even cannot sustain us for 1 week. For autism, because people are staying in different parts of Juba. And the second demand is actually feeding during the duty times. We are given 3,000 per supper and 4,000 per lunch. And actually, this one for 8 to 10 or even more people on duty. Actually, we are just asking them which kind of food these amounts can buy, and none of them able to answer our questions. And how do you expect doctors to on duty to work for 24 hours empty stomach?
Ladu says more than 25 intern doctors and more than 30 clinical officers work in the Department of Emergency and Accidents at Juba Teaching Hospital. Ladu says intern and clinical officers have also been denied access to the hospital bathroom, especially those who are on night duty. He says medical personnel face a number of challenges, especially those working night duty.
You'll be on duty. Suddenly, you will receive a patient at midnight. Someone who's critically ill needs to be urgently helped. But you will find yourself you're doing nothing because the essential medications are not available in the hospital. So, and also, toilet has been locked from us. Some of us are using other means to help themselves, especially at night. We don't have wheelchairs, they are hiding them and rollers for the patients.
Another intern in the hospital department of internal medicine, who prefers to be identified as Dr. Chol, and requested his voice to be changed for fear of reprisals from the administration, says in the past Juba Teaching Hospital administrators came up with what he was called cost sharing between patient and the hospital. Dr. Chol says the policy did not succeed as most intern and clinical officers did not receive their incentives. Dr. Chol says workers want to know why management has not increased their incentives since the hospital has been generating internal income.
Why can't the hospital increase that amount so that we can have at least a good lunch and a good supper and we can be able to work well? That has not been implemented. That is one of the reasons which made us to go on a strike. To make it clear, our strike is not a violent strike. It is not a strike against the government nor the Ministry of Health. We are against the administration of the hospital. And actually, when we wrote our petition, we did not give any to the Ministry of Health or the national government.
Dr. Jamie Smadol, one of the doctors on strikes, says even though the hospital earns income from consultation fee patients pay to see a doctor, the hospital administration is reluctant to consider the plight of its medical workers. Smadol says the medical workers will remain on strike until Juba Teaching Hospital administration answer their demands.
I'm speaking to you right now, Juba Teaching Hospital OPD. None of the doctors is working there. Nobody is seeing the patient. The patients are lying down. Others are just standing in the line, but there is no doctor around. That is the situation we are in. We try to talk to the administration. They promise to solve anything, and up to now they have not solved anything.
The director of Juba Teaching Hospital, Dr. Isaac Maker, says the institution will issue a statement regarding a strike on Tuesday. He says health officials are working to resolve the concerns of the medical workers at the hospital. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The head of the United Nations Refugee Agency is calling on South Sudan and Sudan to restore peace and stability in both countries so that refugees and returnees can go back to their places of origin. Filippo Grandi spoke in Juba during a one-day visit to South Sudan over the weekend. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
Filippo Grandi, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, says the aim of his visit was to discuss the question of how collectively UNHCRA and the governments of the two countries can address challenges hindering refugees from returning to their homes. He spoke to reporters at the UNHCRA's office in Juba shortly after meeting with President Salva Kiir. Grandi says he and President Kiir talked about how to fix challenges including insecurity, accelerating the implementation of peace agreements, and a better service delivery to people.
We have been assisting them for years with humanitarian assistance. It's difficult to mobilize. How can we solve their problems so that we move to a more stable situation? Either if they come back, what do we need to do to make them come back? Or if they want to stay where they are, what do we need to do to have them stabilized, integrated in the country where they find themselves?
Grandi says his visit was aimed at improving UNHCR's Solutions Initiative for Sudan and South Sudan, a program that strives to improve peace and stability in both countries. Grandi says the initiative tries to better the lives of refugees, improving conditions in their host countries. He says UNHCR provides aid to at least 7 million refugees in South Sudan, Sudan and neighboring countries. Grandi says the new initiative can be an accelerator strategy and can be a good seed for development.
Some of them are linked to the lack of development. You know, we know that this country, some parts of the country are classified as high risk of famine, for example. That's a challenge. How can you tell people? How can people go back to a situation where they're hungry? So this needs to be addressed. The solution for return doesn't address the whole famine problem, but can be a way to mobilize more resources to address it. How do you address it? You know better than me. This is not just about distributing food. This is maybe about restoring agriculture, building roads. This is the type of things that need to be looked at.
The UNHCR chief says it is time Sudan and South Sudan implement the peace agreements they signed with the various former rebel groups as another mechanism for addressing some of the hardships in the two countries which bar the return of refugees and displaced persons.
I will continue to appeal to states, don't leave South Sudan alone. Help South Sudan with development, because if you don't have development, humanitarian money cannot keep the country afloat forever and ever. Every year we hear about famine. How many years? Maybe we need to shift. Well, we need to continue to bring food, but maybe we need to shift to roads, to agriculture, to, you know, make the country more self-sustainable. Without security, it will be difficult.
After briefing reporters in the capital, Juba, Grandi traveled to Khartoum on Saturday, where he is scheduled to meet with Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok today to discuss on the same issues. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Ugandan Foreign Minister says his country wants peace in South Sudan. That story is lined up after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how would you advise someone who is struggling in life?
To just keep going, eh? Life is full of ups and downs, eh? So it's the way you're able to maneuver, is the way you're able to, because life will give you what you accept. So if you are defeated and you feel you are defeated, then that's all.
He or she should not give up, because once you struggle, you never know one time you can achieve what you want.
Not to give up so easily, because if you want to succeed in life and you give up on something that you want to do so easily, there is no way you can go forward and succeed in whatever you're doing.
I'll tell him not to watch his present situation now, but to still forge ahead and push towards his goal. He should also have a goal and then work towards it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Uganda's Foreign Minister, General Alhaji Abubakar Odongi Jeje, says President Yoweri Museveni's administration is working with all stakeholders in South Sudan to resolve the challenges facing the country. Foreign Minister Odongi Jeje tells VOA's Peter Claudio via Skype that Uganda will continue to offer support to ensure South Sudan's stability and progress.
Now, let me talk to you about your neighbor, South Sudan. What is the latest development there, and how are you, as a Minister of Foreign Affairs in Uganda, as well as the government in Kampala, engaging stakeholders to address some of the concerns you have in your neighboring country?
Thank you very much. First of all, before I answer that question, I think we need to have a background to the problem in South Sudan. South Sudan is a very young country. It got independence in 2011, but 2 years later, in 2013, it fell into hard times. It had a rebellion, which rebellion caused a split of the SPLM into the SPLM in Juba and SPLM in opposition. That conflict dragged on for a number of years until 2018, when the main parties, SPLM and SPLM-IO, came to the negotiating table and brought in other parties and reached into what we now know as the revitalized peace agreement. Now, that peace agreement puts responsibilities on a number of parties involved. For us, Uganda, we are concerned that all the parties in this agreement must be able to fulfill their responsibilities. 2 weeks ago, we were very bothered when we learned, in fact, on the 3rd of August, there was a statement that came out to the effect that Riek Machar, the leader of SPLM-IO, was no longer the leader of that organization. This, in effect, reflected a conflict within one of the parties of the agreement. And it caused for us a fear whether that party would be able to fulfill its responsibilities in as far as the implementation of the agreement is concerned. So Uganda, together with members of IGAD, got quickly together. We held on the 7th of August an emergency meeting of ministers of foreign affairs of IGAD to discuss that situation and see how best we can deal with it. I am happy to note that soon after that, we got information to the effect that the parties involved in the conflict had acknowledged that that was not the best way to resolve their problem. They accepted to move and sit down and resolve the conflict within their party. I am also happy to note that President Salva Kiir took the initiative and called the parties of government and pronounced itself on what it should do. So as we are speaking now, we are on a trajectory of a return to the negotiating table, a return to each party fulfilling its responsibility in implementing the revitalized peace agreement in as far as it was assigned.
Well, Mr. Foreign Minister, there have been concerns that in spite of the engagement of IGAD, in spite of your president, President Museveni, acting as mediator and speaking with stakeholders in South Sudan, it appears that there seem to be no way forward. What do you think can be done to ensure the full implementation of these peace agreements signed previously, to ensure the country returns to normalcy, peace, if you may, so South Sudanese citizens can operate their businesses and can live freely without any fear of danger or being attacked by anybody?
That's true. There is still concern that there is not sufficient progress. I have had opportunity to interact with various authorities, both inside South Sudan, as well as representatives of the United Nations Secretary General represented in South Sudan on this matter. And what has become apparent and clear is that we may require to move in the direction of lifting sanctions that were imposed on South Sudan in order to free them to be able to maneuver and do a little more in order to establish peace and security in that part of the world.
Moving forward, Mr. Foreign Minister, what do you think is the way forward? for South Sudan to ensure that it works peacefully with its neighbors. So there's no cross-border crimes or cross-border attacks and refugees flowing freely into your country and all that. What is the way forward for South Sudan in your view as a foreign minister?
First of all, the greatest ingredient in peace for South Sudan and indeed for many countries is the ability of the country to govern itself. If South Sudan does not have the instruments and tools to do so, peace may not be there. So first and foremost, we would like to everybody to help South Sudan to establish a unified military force with a unified command, which will then be able to give government the muscle and the ability to implement many other activities. We would like everyone to encourage and to assist South Sudan to do that. Have a unified military, train it, and give it a unified command. Then we can speak of an instrument that government can use in order to be able to establish peace and security, and other activities can then follow.
That's Ugandan Foreign Minister General Alhaji Abubakar Odongi JJ speaking with VOA's Peter Claudi via Skype. There are concerns of a new wave of public violence in South Africa this week. Security forces say they are on high alert after pamphlets and social media messages spread around the country this weekend calling for mass protests. The calls apparently emanated from KwaZulu-Natal, the home province of former President Jacob Zuma. Mobs began looting stores and destroying infrastructure in several cities last month, killing about 350 people and costing billions of dollars in damage. This after Zuma was jailed for contempt of court. For VOA News, Darren Taylor reports.
Thousands of police and soldiers are hitting the streets to prevent possible outbreaks of violence. The biggest deployments are in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. A few weeks ago, the worst public unrest since the end of apartheid in 1994 happened in these two provinces, in which the two major cities of Johannesburg and Durban are situated. Police Ministry spokesperson Liranzu Temba says law enforcement agencies have put measures in place to protect citizens who accused the police of doing little to stop last month's mayhem. In a recorded message to media, Temba said this time, the security agencies, collectively known as the National Joint Operations and Intelligence Structure, or NAT joints, are ready for anything.
The NAT joint is aware of inflammatory messages on various social media platforms advocating for violence. Those behind these messages are warned that inciting violence is a criminal offense. Members of the public are cautioned against spreading such divisive messages.
According to the NAT Joint's operational plan, seen by VOA, security forces will guard national key points such as airports and the state broadcaster, along with police stations, prisons, and shopping centers. Some of the pamphlets accuse President Cyril Ramaphosa of selling out the poor by favoring white capitalists. Temba says other messages urge citizens to shut the country down.
The public is urged not to respond to calls for violence and criminality and are thus discouraged from participating in activities that seek to defy the rule of law and to undermine the authority of the state.
The African National Congress, or ANC, in KwaZulu-Natal makes no secret of its support for Zuma, who's accused of mass corruption. ANC Provincial Representative Nhlakanipho Ntombela acknowledges that some of the pamphlets bear what appears to be the stamp of the ANC Provincial Office.
We've been aware of a pamphlet circulating and want to put it on record that as the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, were not party to any of those activities. Those who have done that thing, they've done on their own. They with not authority of the ANC in the province.
Ntombela says just because the ANC in the province backs Zuma doesn't mean it's trying to destabilize the Ramaphosa government.
We can assure the people of South Africa, we don't know who is organizing and who is behind it. In fact, we are warning those individuals that using an ANC logo on an illegal activity is a criminal offense against the organization.
He says the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal would never advocate violence to achieve a political objective in a democratic country.
It can't be done on the ANC name. Whereas if you understood what happened during the last incident of looting and everything, it can't be done in the name of the former President Zuma.
In July, law enforcement agencies ignored social media messages inciting violence until it was too late. Not this time, says Temba.
Law-abiding citizens should be at ease knowing that the NetJoints is not taking these threats lightly. Security forces are on high alert and are ready to maintain stability in the country and will ensure the safety and security of South Africans.
Meanwhile, it's taken more than a month for Ramaphosa to say what citizens have known all along, that his administration was poorly prepared for last month's attempted insurrection, as he describes it. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read your brief comments every Friday. We now leave you with Emmanuel Lasso and the song Junubin. We've been listening to Emmanuel Lasso with the song Junubin. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Megida san salam fi beledna Wadile rapuna megida san salam fi beledna Wadile diktor gerey megida san huria Wad
dile ditor gereng mejida san huria le aizol sei shukrana shansa.